Welcome back to another episode of Cultivating Change, everyone. I'm your host, Alex Corey. I hope you're having a great day so far. Today's guest is a very, very unique individual who has a similar history to mine, worked in computer work, electronics, and has since migrated into more embodied philosophy. Today's guest is Bill Paravano. He is known as the Knee Pain Guru. He hosts, or co-hosts rather, the Sovereignty Lab in Weaverville, North Carolina, the same town that I'm now in, and I'm in the greenhouse today because his podcast, Our Talk Together, reinvigorated and re-inspired my drive to get out in the middle of the cold December, North Carolina winter and wind, and get the greenhouse work done, get the land work done in prep for our spring season. We're going to be growing a ton of different herbs this year, full biodynamic permaculture practices, and Bill's history of overcoming his own injury, which led him to a deep dive on neurology and how the nervous system acts as a bridge or a gateway to all other healing modalities, uncovering unconscious patterns of behavior that can be trapped inside of our bodies, and unleashing those to fully realize more of our true potential. I absolutely love this conversation and learned a ton. And Bill hosts a number of physical reset circles, which I will include after the podcast, but I know you'll enjoy this chat with Bill Paravano. So we both go to the Yellow Mug in downtown Weaverville, and
right.
Earlier this week we got into a really good conversation about physical reset, brainwave states, and it occurred to me that, I mean, I've only known you for a couple months, and you have full permaculture set up and your own business, but I don't actually know the depth of what you do. Could you go briefly into what your business is and what led you into that? Because I'm sure you had some very interesting experiences that made you do it for yourself.
Sure. My day job is the Knee Pain Guru online. I help people with chronic knee pain, and I've developed a program that basically trains and educates people how to get themselves out of pain. So that's the day job piece.
That's a huge piece though.
Sure. And everything else revolves around that in some capacity. Like a lot of things in my life that led up to the knee injury that got me into the business fed in the development of the program,
right?
What I teach people online to do for themselves. It all revolves around the neurology, the nervous system, your brain, your spinal column, the nerves that go to every cell in your body, and it gets its instructions from there. And what I've found is many people, I'm seeing more of it nowadays, like that brain, mapping the brain and all this other kind of stuff. They're understanding how the body can heal by focusing on the neurology.
So what was your knee injury?
Okay.
And then did you simply have to figure it out for yourself? And that's what made you be like, I did a lot of research. So that's what led you into the business, or what happened with your knee?
I was December of 98, a buddy of mine, the chiropractor from Louisville, Kentucky, Dr. Paul Constante, invited me to go skiing. And skiing was not something that I had done a lot of. First run down the hill, face plant, you know, get skied down. I mean, it was a bad scene. And that partially tore the ligament in my knee, but I was involved in judo. My main love was judo. I loved throwing people. That was like my gig, my deal. And everything in my life at that time revolved around me being able to do that. So working out, biking, running, training, going to practice was so I could throw people, because that's just what I love to do. All of a sudden, I do this knee injury because I'm in my mid to late 20s, and I'm thinking I'm invincible.
Right. and tear a ligament.
I go skiing. He partially tore the ligament, but I was stubborn on top of it. So I didn't go to the doctor. And then I partially tore it again. And I partially tore it a third time. And then finally ripped through the ligament in my left knee. That's when I went to the doctor. So there was this learning curve that was pretty flat. And I was stubborn. And I had this mindset that I could just push through whatever was going on.
I think that's common in your mid-20s. I have that too.
Yeah. So that led to the surgery and the physical therapy and the doctor, which was great doctor, telling me, well, that's the best we could do. And I had a knee that was still swelling up. I was still limping. I had issues in my hips and my lower back. I had lots of follow-on issues with that. And the Western medical model is going, okay, well, this is it.
Yeah.
And that in my mind was unacceptable, not for the medical model, because that's their business model.
Right.
That's what they do. Correct. But I was like, oh, there's got to be something else. So I started getting body work. At that point, I'd already been getting Rolfed structural integration type of work. I'd already had massage. I'd already had chiropractic. Right. I had a lot of them, but nothing was kind of getting to what was going on with my knee.
Going deep enough, so to speak? It's
like an itch that couldn't get scratched. So I have this pain, the discomfort in my body that the massage, the Rolfing, the chiropractic.
What is Rolfing?
Rolfing, structural integration. I'm not the one to speak on it.
I gotcha.
Of course, someone who does that for a living can speak on it. From my understanding, it is a way of aligning fascia, the fascia that surrounds every muscle, tendon, ligament in your body. It puts it in a line with gravity, so makes your movement more efficient.
Interesting.
It's very cool.
So like cross bridges, it physically moves the bridges so that you're not resisting your everyday motion, so to speak, almost.
Yes.
Yeah, but physical movement rather than like electrical and conductivity, but you're actually physically shifting the pattern so that you're not resisting gravity as much.
Yes.
Okay.
It's in alignment with gravity. The movement, you feel taller, you feel more efficient in your movement. It was great for judo.
Right.
Because now my throws were faster, sharper, more precise. It was great. However, after the knee injury, it was like, okay, I was going to Rolfing. It wasn't getting to that. I still felt out of sorts. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel good in my body. Massage wasn't cutting it. Mm-hmm. Stretching wasn't cutting it. I'd go, a couple of yoga classes, Pilates. I tried the deep tissue massage. I tried Jinshin Do, Jinshin Jitsu, chiropractic. Energy work, Reiki,
everything.
I was anything I could find. Anybody was like, okay, I haven't tried that before. I'd go try it. And I'd feel a change for a period of time. Then it would come back. And finally, I was invited to go to a class this was in Kentucky, outside of Louisville, Kentucky. Now, at this point in time in my life, I owned a computer company. Mm-hmm. And I was doing my judo, and that was kind of my life, working out. Now this knee injury comes along. I have all this time to do different study and training. I get invited to this class. The instructor goes, orthobiomy, an osteopathically based style of body work that was founded by a British osteopath who was also a judo instructor. And I was like, oh.
Nailed it.
I was like, okay. So I'm in a room full of doctors and nurses and massage therapists and like PTs, like everybody. They're all in that room. And I'm over here. I owned a computer company. And they're talking about the body parts. I'm raising my hand. I'm asking, like, what's the scapula? I'd never heard of it before. That kind of stuff.
Missing the anatomy part.
Right.
Yeah.
What none of those professionals had was my understanding of judo. So that understanding of judo, which is your opponent pushes on you, you don't push back, you pull. In reverse, if your opponent pulls on you, you don't pull back, you push. Go with the energy while maintaining your balance. Yeah. And the opponent throws themselves. So that's what I was. That's what I knew. That's what I loved. I felt in every part of my being. And now they're just showing me body work that worked on changing the physical tension patterns by creating a different neurological state mm-hmm. in the body. It was like a gimme. And I just kept going and studying and traveled around the world. I studied in Europe, certified in Europe, certified in North America. I became an instructor. However, there were limitations of it because it's very much a feminine type of body work.
Interesting.
There's two different types of approaches in working with the physical body. You have a direct approach. Mm-hmm. You have an indirect approach. Mm-hmm. Direct approach is going to be masculine or male. Indirect approach is going to be feminine, comfortable.
Yeah.
Direct approach is going like stick a knuckle in elbow or stick a knuckle
almost
in
almost penetrating. Like
right.
Yeah.
Rolfing, deep tissue gotcha. Massage.
Intrusive.
Your conventional chiropractic, pushing a bone back into yeah. place. It's a direct approach.
Gotcha.
Nothing wrong with it. Has its time and place. That's what the direct approach is. Orthobiomy is an indirect approach. Feminine. So more energy work.
Mm-hmm.
But energy work can also be direct. It's right. deeper levels of this conversation.
Yes.
However, orthobiomy is an indirect approach, which is creating comfort in the physical body. So the physical body feels safe, supported, and listened to.
Mm.
In that space, it engages the reflexes that allows the body to pull a bone or a muscle or tendon or ligament or fluid or fascia on whatever level. The body will pull it back into place on its own.
Interesting.
So the chiropractic adjustment holds longer. The massage, you can be more relaxed for the massage. Massage therapists will struggle for a period of time to get the body to relax.
Yeah.
And what's happening is they're not, even Rolfing can be very direct, can be very difficult to relax and let go. It's the knot in the back or the muscle that's super tight. And if the neurology has this tension pattern that is afraid, because of an injury, accident, trauma, surgery, it's protecting. It doesn't know how to let go. So if you create comfort on whatever level, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual level, support the body where it feels comfortable, the neurology begins to shift from a sympathetic fight or flight state to a parasympathetic state. And now the body can relax and let go. The body essentially heals itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's the premise of recovery, right? So you can do all of these. In my field, it's nutrition and performance. It's not judo, but other things. And usually what I struggle with and what a lot of people struggle with is you can't beat yourself down. So you go to the gym or you do your
sure.
Intense work and then just keep your stress levels pegged all day because the recovery never has a chance mm-hmm. to happen. Your body has no interest in letting its guard down and actually starting to heal and engage its own mechanisms to start to heal itself if mm-hmm. it thinks there's still a threat. So
right.
getting yourself into rest and recovery is necessary for those physical healing mm-hmm. as well as emotional and energetic and all of that. But that's the starting point, I guess.
And what I'm finding in my work with clients online, yeah. clients in person, is that there's an addiction to the sympathetic nervous system spike.
I definitely have that.
To be on that level, yeah. to be jacked up. Like,
and addicted to adrenaline.
You're addicted to the adrenaline, the cortisol release, like all of that.
Yeah, the adaptive hormones.
And what happens is it fatigues
oh, yeah.
the adrenals.
I know.
and there isn't this sense of understanding how to drop down. So that's been my study, has been in the neurology of studying the what I refer to as autonomic flexibility, or what is referred to as autonomic flexibility. That's the ability of the nervous system to be jacked up real high, but how can we drop it down as quickly as possible after that, so the recovery time is shortened?
Yes.
And you could do that on many different levels: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. All of it is. We can get super fatigued as a result of being on all the time.
Yeah, direct correlation with nutrition. I'm listening, just all these parallels to hormones go through my brain. So same thing with metabolic flexibility, which is if you have a massive sugar load,
yeah,
insulin spikes, but the flexibility part is instead of you staying in that chronically elevated space,
mm-hmm,
drop back down to baseline, start burning fat again.
Totally.
So same exact concept.
Exactly.
Ability to tolerate the peaks, but avoiding burnout and getting back down to baseline as quickly as possible.
Right.
Awesome.
And what I see is, on a societal level, is this stuff I've been studying for two and a half decades. On a societal level, there's this addiction to that. And people are beginning to become aware of how those different brain states and how all of that plays a role in longevity and health and quality of life and things such as that. However, that you have something specific, area of study specifically with brain states. And then you have another area of study would just be like, I'll just meditate.
Yep.
But then you have people that are doing the physical stuff. So they're doing it in...
Too disparate, right. Too separate.
You'll have people that are exercising, but they're like power lifters.
Yeah.
Or CrossFit is another example. They're like full on all the time. And what ends up happening is there isn't this ability to be a functional human.
You're just speaking to me at this point. Like, this is exactly why I started Tai Chi. Cause I was like, I'm not recovering like I should, because I came to the conclusion that I was addicted to that sympathetic state. Like, it feels productive, but on the end, or at the end of the day, whenever you notice that you're not recovering, you realize it's really not helping anything in the long run.
Well, it serves its purpose. It's like being in a dance with a partner, and the partner is ourself. And if we don't have that ability to either speed up or slow down to get that timing with our partner, then we're going to lose. We're not actually dancing.
Right.
So there is a time to hit the gas, and there is a time to get things done, to be dad, to be mom, to exercise, to rest. There is time for all of those things. But when we do not have that autonomic flexibility, we don't recognize that autonomic flexibility, that it's like, oh, I need to back off a little bit,
right,
or I need to do active recovery. That's another concept that in the exercise world, you can lift heavy weights to build strength. But then there's also lateral exercises you can do that is, I'm going to stretch today.
Yep. Walking, stretching.
Walking. I'm going to do cardio, which is a different type of exercise than strength, which is a different type of cardio than if I'm pushing something heavy. I could tax my neurology that way. So understanding those different ways of pivoting, and what do you need, and really what do you want on the other side of it? How do you want your body to function and perform?
Joe Dispenza makes the pretty easy to understand analogy of what you just described, which was having all those disparate parts that are taxing but not really combining and fully balancing, which is you're hitting the gas and the brake at the same time. So you're revved up, but you're not going anywhere.
Right.
Which is the easiest way to burn yourself out.
Sure.
Yeah, just picture doing that to a car and just listening to it.
Yeah.
And that's what my body feels like if I do that, which is just going. And at the end of the day, I'm like, I didn't really get there. There was no, why did I just expend all that energy and feel like trash? So what have you found to integrate anything? Or...
Well, one of the pieces we haven't talked about in my area of study was a Russian martial art in there. And I was in and around the time I injured my knee, was involved in judo. I was also got involved in a Russian martial art called Sistema. Mm-hmm. It's literally translates to the system, which is just a way of training. It's essentially a health system mm-hmm. disguised as a martial art.
Interesting.
So it all focuses on breathing, movement, and relaxation, and recognizing your fear in whatever type of scenario you find yourself in. And I trained for years in it, mm-hmm. became an instructor in it. And it's such a phenomenal martial art, but many people overlook it because of its simplicity. It doesn't look like anything. And that's where many people, society in general, will overlook those things that are super simple. Permaculture, for instance.
Yeah
you could have mushroom logs and water catchment systems and all of this thing, but it goes down to basic principles that are super simple. And once you get those systems in place, you're not doing a whole lot of work. It's just minimal input in it. The body's the same way. Martial arts is the same way. If you study it from a place of looking at principles. Mm-hmm. And I see many people in a lot of different modalities, people that have been studying for years, that are missing that deep understanding of the simplicity of it. And Sistema, the focus is on breathing, moving, and relaxing. So we go to practice and like, well, what'd you practice? Well, we practiced punching today. Well, what'd you do? Well, we breathed, we moved, and we relaxed. Well, okay, we did you do any ground fighting? Yeah, we did that. What'd you do? Well, we breathed, we moved, and we relaxed. what were you doing with knife work? And I'm like, yeah, we did that. Well, what'd you do? We breathed, we moved, and we relaxed. So it gets down to this basics understanding of your nervous system and how it responds in given situations. Getting hit will evoke a different emotional response in your neurology in different parts of your body in different times of the day. If your body is under stress or if your body is more relaxed, your ability to get hit is going to be different. Your ability to hit another person. Most of the time, there's any sort of physical conflict, physical striking, it's because there was an emotion behind it. Very, very few people know how to hit without emotion.
Good point.
It's different. And if you hit without emotion, you're not hurting the other person, you're actually healing them because you're releasing the tension patterns. Mm. You could think of it, we joked a lot in Sistema because you got to.
Yeah.
But it's like a high-speed massage.
I like
there's that piece where how you move, how you sit, how you stand is going to be dependent on the tension patterns that you hold inside, your mind, your emotions. And your physical body will move or not move in certain ways as a result of those tension patterns. When a person attacks another person, they're attacking them as a way to diffuse the tension in their nervous system. It's a charge. It's a sympathetic right. nervous system charge. I'm going to punch you or strike you or kick you or grab you or throw you to the ground, whatever it is, based on that emotional tension pattern, the mind, the emotional patterns that I'm holding within my own body. So if you come at me with whatever sort of tension pattern that is, and I strike that tension pattern, the body moves away from pain to a position of comfort. So you strike that tension pattern, the body will release that tension pattern, and the structure will collapse.
So you're truly getting, you can see the internal state of someone by their mm-hmm. external movement patterns.
Mm-hmm.
That's intense.
Sure. And whether a person is telling the truth or they're not, whether the person is being genuine or not, you can do that by shifting your brain state by how you look at a person.
Right.
If you're in tunnel vision, I'm in more of a sympathetic state, I'm going to miss a lot of things. But if I'm in a parasympathetic state, I'm relaxed and I'm watching and I'm taking in information, which a lot of intuitive people do. Mm-hmm. Now I'm able to respond to a situation as opposed to react to it. And from a systema perspective, I would be intuitively led to touch or strike an area of my opponent, which relaxes their tension and collapses their structure. Mm. From a bodywork perspective, you're going to say, my left hip hurts.
Right.
You're going to say, oh, it goes up the left side and it shows up on the right side of my neck. And we can relax that tension pattern in a direct way, striking it, massaging it, whatever that is, or an indirect way, which is creating comfort and releasing that tension pattern. It depends on where the person is at psychologically. I've worked on 300-pound diesel mechanics.
Yeah.
And if I go in there with the woo-woo kind of like exactly. Stuff like that, oh, let's create comfort in there, which we are creating comfort, but I need to use more pressure in order to meet them where they're at so they can connect with how that tension pattern from the back surgery that didn't work is going to release.
Right.
I have other people I've worked on, you know, 110-pound Pilates instructors.
Yep.
And they're super sensitive. And if you go with that level of pressure I worked with the 300-pound diesel mechanic on them,
defenses go
up. They wouldn't be able to deal with it. Yep. Because the pressure is too much. Not that there's anything bad or wrong. It's just that it's where they're at. We're, as humans, we're all at different places at different times. So on a day that you're super stressed, if I was working on you, you may not necessarily get any physical. It would be more energetic or supporting the body. Well, where are you noticing things? So
in my left hip. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is. However, based on what you share or don't share, say or don't say, how you stoop over to pick up your bag, or mm-hmm. how we met this morning, mm-hmm. or the you called me back or you didn't call me back or whatever it is, I'm taking in that information constantly to go, okay, well, I'll see. Yeah. Where that is.
Always adjusting.
And when a client steps forward and commits to that, that's like, oh, they want to work with me. Now we're in a space where transformation could take place huge amounts.
Yeah.
However, if they're going to play small or they don't want to look at those things, which doesn't make them bad or wrong, yeah. It's just that's where they're at. This is such a deep, rich topic.
I'm trying to not go too deep. How do you introduce people to the concept of you have to get down to your neurology?
I need them to tell me what's going on. Hmm. There was coach that I worked with, coach, meaning she was a coach.
Okay.
She coached, and she was big into like the CrossFit stuff, and she had knee issues, and she wanted help and support, which, awesome. That's great. The way the tension pattern showed up in the knees reflected in the hips and lower back. And the thing that really resonated was with how she was addicted to that sympathetic spike. You know, it's like many people, clients that I work with, online or in person, what they'll do is they'll be like, oh, I feel great. Can I go do this now?
Right.
And it's like they're looking for me for permission to do it. And I always refer them back to, well, how do you feel? And many times, this is a neurological thing. When the neurology has had a pattern for an extended period of time, mm-hmm. that autonomic flexibility has just been expanded, but it functions very much like a rubber band. So it's like, oh, I feel great. I'm going to go lift. And they're going to lift more weights. and injure themselves and put themselves back in the situation that they just got out of. Mm-hmm. And it's important. You think of it like throwing the keys to a Corvette to a 16-year-old. You know, just got their learner's permit, and it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, and they have no concept of the power that they have. And when their body starts feeling good again, it's like they just got the keys and it's like, okay, I want to hit the gas as hard as I can. And they end up re-injuring themselves. And that's where this figuring out, well, maybe I'll just go for a walk today. Maybe I'll go home and take a nap. Yeah. Tomorrow morning, I'll see how I feel and then maybe go do something.
Yeah.
So it has been a fascinating process to watch how each individual person will respond to work. Yesterday, the Prevelo, I think you were going to do a
thing. Yeah, I will. There's a whole bunch of basically all sorts of fitness equipment and movement and body modalities around us. So I'll give you guys an overview somewhere in here, but yeah, Prevelo behind
it. So we do that on Friday mornings, and we had a couple guys here yesterday, and we did the Prevelo, which stretches you out. Think of like being drawn and quartered.
I need that 100%.
Yeah. So we did that yesterday, and one of the things that we would do in Sistema is we would walk on each other. Mm. So we did that yesterday. And that's a really interesting thing. It's like an active massage. When you get walked on, like literally walked on, it can really hit points that are very tender, sensitive, hurt a lot. However, if we aren't incorporating breath work in conjunction with that, what ends up happening is we can build fear into the neurology more so.
I can see that.
So if you got a sore leg, you step on the leg, the person goes, and now they're trying to gut through the pain that they're feeling. Yeah. It's stopping the level of education, the knowledge, the wisdom that they can gain from that experience if they use it as a way to breathe and see how they can begin to move and understand how that tension is shifting into other places in their body. Because if I step on your calves and your calves hurt, all the tension goes into your hips. That's where the tension's coming from. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
the body moves away from pain to a position of comfort. Now you have it in a static way, and you're using your awareness, your ability to breathe, to move the neurology into a parasympathetic state as long as possible to diffuse the tension pattern that has developed in your calves, shifting into your hips, lower back, going into your organs. Because if it's in your hips and lower back, the spine is attached to ligaments that are attached to the organs in your body. You can see how the reflexology stuff applies in this situation.
A real basic example of this is what I can't get very far on this because, like you said, I have to do it in a very calm state. But if I'm like my quads, specific quads are very tight, and same thing with specific muscles in my hamstring. So I have to take a lacrosse ball for like a half hour at night and very carefully, if I don't do it with breath work, I will just be in excruciating pain and end up compensating and just taking pressure off, which defeats the purpose entirely. And I end up giving up because it hurts too much. If I do it slowly, same thing with just basic stretching, and remember to breathe into it, like focus attention on the area, I can feel 100% move.
Yeah.
Which is trippy. And a lacrosse ball applies a lot of pressure, especially if you're putting your body weight on a quad. That can take me like 15 or 20 minutes on one muscle to be able to get in as deep as I want to, because the breathing is so, requires so much focus.
So here is where, in that situation, we could begin to incorporate an indirect approach to get the neurology to let go more on a surface level. So then if you do a direct approach, it can let go easier and faster without your body fighting that experience of the discomfort. So instead of it taking you 15 minutes or half an hour or whatever it is, we do a little bit of indirect mm-hmm. to release the pattern. And now you go in with the lacrosse ball and it's only going to take 30 seconds or a minute.
Sounds like I might have a new practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah. It's fascinating because it's beginning to understand that balance. How do I need to be supported? And if you have someone with a modality that's only direct or someone with a modality that's only indirect, they're not going to be able, they don't have that flexibility within their own practice to be able to support in the way that your body needs to be supported.
Yeah. You mentioned probably 15 minutes ago, brainwave states.
Yes.
And we were talking earlier in the week about how to integrate whenever people start doing, I signed up for a package that I'm going to start doing. It's a Silva technique, but it's similar to what Joe Dispenza teaches, where specific meditations to do in meditation, just so you can figure out how your mind is working around moving between beta and theta and alpha and all those brainwave states.
Sure.
But the tricky part is always, how do you bring that into your, how do you control your unconscious or subconscious and speak directly to it in your conscious waking life? Hopefully that's what that brings to me. But we were talking about that earlier in the week, which is how do you don't have to always do it through meditation. Do you have any ways that you sort of harness brainwave states in? I'm sure it's built into those practices, but do you ever focus specific attention on getting people into that, recognizing their unconscious neurology, which is what we've been going over?
Well, the unconscious neurology comes to the forefront whenever the body is put underneath stress. You can see that, like the past 2 years, like with COVID and lockdowns and masking and all of that stuff that was put into society.
Right.
And the neurology, everybody's neurology got amped up.
Oh, yeah.
Got fear state was huge. And there are societal energetic patterns that show up in the body, specifically in the diaphragm and in the pelvis. That's a whole nother conversation. Anyhow, the point of it is the more your neurology is put under stress, your patterns come to the surface. Putting the body under stress is the best way to understand how you're going to respond in any sort of situation.
Right.
In Sistema, you get hit. Well, how are you going to handle that?
Yeah.
How am I going to handle if I get hit in the liver? How am I going to handle if I get punched in the solar plexus? And I've had some crazy things where I could take these amazing strikes to my abdomen. And I had, after practice, I asked my mentor, Vladimir, hit me. And they're essentially looking at what you need.
Yeah.
I got hit in the shoulders one time. You don't think of getting hit in the shoulders.
Right.
And he hit me side to side in the shoulders. And it was an out of body experience because I held so much tension in my shoulders.
Yeah, I can see.
And I seriously, like that night, I went back to the hotel room because this was up in Canada. We were training in Toronto. And I went home. I went back to the hotel room and I had serious thoughts about why was I even doing the martial art? Like seriously thinking of quitting, not going to practice the next day. See the emotions that come up. What do you do in that? What do you do in that place? How do you show up when your nervous system is taxed? That's essentially like you can't think of how you're gonna show up, like what unconscious or subconscious patterns are there unless you tax those patterns. It's like me saying, how am I going to react in a relationship without being in a relationship, and that person being your mirror and bringing up all your stuff, and then you act in a fool and then having to work through it or work with it and work through those emotions that come up. You can't do it unless you pressure test it.
Right.
So in a way, there's a lot of people that are afraid, have hesitancy to look at how they would react or respond to their neurology.
Yeah.
Coming up. Now we have a societal level. You can look back, well, how'd you react? And that's a really great technique is backtrack.
Yeah.
Or like I studied a lot of primitive skills, and there's a way of pressure releases they talk about in tracks. So an animal, depending on the position of their head, mm-hmm. being up or down, looking left or right, whether their bladder is full or empty, whether they've just eaten food or not, if they have an injury in their body, mm-hmm. what vertebrae it goes to, all shows up in the track.
Interesting.
And if you're tracking an animal through the woods, you can see the pressure releases in the feet. You can also see use the landscape, use broken twigs or vegetation to see kind of where the animal would have moved. Are you tracking a predator? Are you tracking something that's more prey? Mm-hmm. At some point in time, you're going to lose the track. And if you continue pushing through, trying to figure out where the track might be, you'll never find the track. You have to stop and go back to the last place where the track was, and then maybe even go back a couple tracks before that to see the pattern.
Yeah, see the trajectory.
In the trajectory. So the same thing a person needs to do if they want to understand what their unconscious or subconscious patterns are. Mm-hmm. You have to go back and look over the past 2 years. How did you act? How did you show up? What did you do? Did you ignore people? Did you reach out to more people? Mm. What did you, like, how did you show up in that place where we had a trillions of dollars psychological operation that was dumped on society to see if people would comply and be essentially do what they're told, mm-hmm. or they were going to be a free thinker.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
What did you do?
Yeah.
And you don't have to go forward from here. You just have to stop and look back.
Yeah.
Go back, well, the past couple weeks, the past couple months, the past couple years, you have it all there. Your patterns don't change unless you consciously become aware of those patterns to change those patterns.
Yeah.
It's ingrained in your neurology.
So whenever you become aware of mm-hmm. the pattern, what is the integration, or what is the practice to, what if you don't like what you did?
The awareness provides the mode for change.
Okay.
When you become aware of the pattern, now you have more information in the room to be able to make better decisions,
data.
To be different decisions, the data essentially. Yeah. So you take that in and you look at you look around you. What I found, this happens in systema many times. It's like, well, this person has grabbed me that this way or that way. Well, what do? Well, usually you find out where you can move.
Right.
And from where you can move, the tension is right there in the other person. It's amazing.
Interesting.
The same thing is in our life. Many people will find themselves in that situation where it's like, I don't know what to do. And I teach my daughter this. Mm-hmm. I don't know is a lazy answer. It's a lazy answer because you do know what to do. And sometimes doing nothing is the thing to do.
Yeah.
And that gets into that addiction to the sympathetic state. Well, it's broken. I got to fix it. I got to do more.
Yeah.
And in doing so, in pushing forward, that ends up creating the pattern that you're trying to get out of.
Right.
And if you just slow down in that space, your solutions are right there. I had a buddy the other day. He goes, posts in a group. We're in a group. You know anybody that does cranial work? I was shocked. Like, I worked on the guy. I did cranial work on the guy. And he posts in the group and he's like, yeah, you know anybody that does cranial work? I was like, me. Like, I'm your guy. He ends up working with another guy. It's fine. You know, whoever you want to work with, that's cool. But it's just fascinating that there's this, it's like this night blindness. I was talking, this story is so great. When you look at things from a neurological perspective, we are such silly creatures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's like we have this night blindness. It would be like me asking you, Alex, can you tell me anybody you know that does works with people with health and nutrition?
Right. That was all.
Like, I know. And it's like the answer is right in front of me. Yet I don't see it. There's something about if I turn my head to the side and look out of my peripheral vision, I'd see you. Mm-hmm. But if I'm looking straight at you, I don't see it.
Right.
So the buddy that knows I do cranial work, that I worked on, that did cranial work with, doesn't have the ability to see that his solution was right there.
Yeah.
I want to tell you this story because this was yesterday. Rob. Lynn Festi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he was working, we worked out on the Pervilo yesterday.
Nice.
And he was telling the story about his family that came out to stay at his place that brought Hershey chocolate bars to make s'mores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody who knows Rob knows he's Mandala Chocolates.
Right.
He's got like tons of chocolate that he sells every year. Yet his own family doesn't even recognize that.
Yep.
So when we're talking about those patterns, changing those patterns, the awareness provides the mode for change. So many people are addicted to that sympathetic state. Bigger, faster, stronger, more, like,
or
whatever.
Just new, maybe.
New, yeah. And they end up recreating the pattern that they're trying to get away from. So anyhow, it's just been entertaining.
It works that way with, I think it's because you know them. There's a certain level of like almost appeal to authority, logical fallacy, where you always almost believe it more if it comes from someone you don't personally know for some reason. Like mm-hmm. information hits you sometimes harder, or you're more likely to believe someone if you don't chat with them on a personal basis. Like, I can tell my friends something about nutrition and health. It won't land,
mm-hmm.
even though that's what I do. If they hear it from someone else on the internet, Zach Bush, any other person in the same field, they'll listen to it because they don't know them.
I could see that.
Yeah,
I agree.
An external authority thing. Same with parents and kids. Like, your parents never listen to you, whatever you, or mine don't at least.
Parents. Yeah. I mean, guess what? My dad's had a knee replacement.
Mm. You're like, this is what I do.
It's like my dad's had a hip replacement. Yeah. My dad had multiple surgeries, and no matter how much I have shared with him, but parents knew you from the beginning.
Yeah,
that's in a
it's a
little bit different.
For sure.
But at some point, the person that's asking you if you do anything about nutrition didn't know you.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a weird little...
It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
But
humans are weird.
Yeah. Humans, they are. They're silly. And
yeah.
If you can't sit back and laugh about it, which is... It really moves the neurology into a parasympathetic state to mm-hmm. be able to kind of laugh.
Laughter is medicine, for sure.
So
yeah, I had to work on that. Like, I was 3-4 years ago, I was just so when before I started doing my own stuff when I was still in my IT career, it was rough. Like, I was just hyper cynical and analysis paralysis all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in that sympathetic state all day. And mm-hmm. it wasn't healthy for one bit. Mm-hmm. Just not in a good mental state. We went over a lot. You hit a lot. So on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
you do permaculture. So you're working on your land, you're mm-hmm. outside doing projects, still do martial arts, or more so?
More so the Prevelo. Yep. I stepped away from the martial arts because just the commitment level.
Mm.
My ability to set aside that time to teach yep. for those that I just didn't have the bandwidth to be able to pull all that together.
Good way of putting that. What do you find gets you going? And if I remember correctly, you do a good amount of ceremony too. What gets you going on a daily basis whenever, why does permaculture call to you?
Less is more. I mean, minimal effort with maximal output.
Yeah.
I'm always looking to see how you can apply Occam's razor, the Pareto principle, to anything that I do. If I'm looking at my day, I want to put in the least amount to get the biggest result.
Yeah.
In terms of how I do it. So how I look at the world in permaculture is just this brilliant methodology or way of looking at nature, way of looking at caretaking or tending the land. It's just so brilliant.
I
spent the day with Joe.
Yeah,
Joe Bassett. That was fantastic.
He's my permaculture design partner. For people have heard me talk about him, but we're both part of Food Forest Abundance, and he is an encyclopedia of food knowledge.
It was like he just took it to many, many more levels, which is how I look at the body, which is how I look at martial arts, which is how I look at all the stuff that I'm doing around here. I just had, it was really cool because it was like, a mentor type of person. Mm-hmm. I haven't had that space. Type of person in the gardening space that I could be like, oh, wow, yep. I could really absorb this.
Yep.
So that was kind of fun because when you're teaching or you've done body work, you develop a level of proficiency in some area. After a while, you're only going to get marginally more information
you're working on like 5% if you're already at 90.
Right.
Yeah, there's no, and with permaculture, you're probably making those massive, just absorbing
right droves. Now.
Yeah.
Right now I am. So it was really refreshing to be in the presence of somebody that has so much more knowledge mm-hmm. than I do to be able to absorb it. And if you apply the principles of how life operates, the nervous system functions and operates, because a nervous system has the same knowledge and intuition as spirit.
Right.
The neurology is the bridge between the physical and the unseen and the eternal. It's the bridge. And when you grasp that and understand that, and not just like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, sure. No, it's huge. It's friggin' enormous. When you understand that, now you insert yourself into a caretaking role in whatever you do, not just a piece of land that you bought, not just a piece of land that you're renting, but everything you do is an act of caretaking for the next person or situation or whatever that is, your forward thinking, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
So when I was in the presence of Joe the other day, I was just like, damn, this is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It re-inspires or gives you that spark for the thing. And I do this plenty where I'll get into something and then I will just be doing it and it loses the novelty or you lose the spark,
mm-hmm.
but you get in the presence of someone like that and you're like, oh, that's right. That's why I got into this, because it's like being a kid. You see things through their lens and their lens is just magical. And it gives you a new filter to look through where you're like, I need to go back into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a new invigoration.
Yeah. So
permaculture is just cool because it's so specific. Like it's more so like watching and listening to the land. Like you said, it's yes. land stewardship. It's not like forcing anything like garden design is. Yeah. It's more comprehensive and
right.
hyper-contextualized.
Right. It is. And at the same time, there's this place where the knowledge that is brought to the table, the experience and the knowledge, the science behind it, it just, that's really, really profound.
Yeah. For anyone wondering what we're talking about, I'll put Joe's website. He doesn't have a ton up there, but I've also done a couple of video projects with him. And we're getting ready for a Vedic tea ceremony, which I'm really looking forward to. So we'll wrap up. But where can people, you said you have online courses?
Yes. I have two projects right now. One is the Knee Pain Guru. So thekneepainguru.com. I do online coaching and training, both individualized as well as groups for specifically for knee pain. And what I've been working on here on the land has been sovereigntylab.com.
Yes.
So it's, we're doing a, I do on Tuesdays, I do a physical reset circle where I'm actually teaching people in time how to relieve the tension patterns and change those tension patterns. And we are also, like tomorrow, I'm going to be doing a animal processing
for class.
It's going to be more of a mindset thing.
Gotcha.
Because people, they were like, I want to process a deer. Well, a deer is pretty big. So how can we break that down so you can build up? You just don't jump into it every day. So start small and you build up those little baby steps that over a period of time, it's like compounding interest and it builds momentum in the neurology that there isn't that snapback in the neurology because too much was input all at once.
Right. Okay. I'll put all those links in the show notes. And I'll probably see you on Tuesday because I needed that in real time physical reset.
Cool.
Anything else you'd like to add before we close?
Oh, man, this is fun.
Yeah, we're going to end up doing another one of these.
You get into this space. I could talk about, I've been talking about this stuff for decades. But there's just something, there's a feeling. When you get the feeling of how the neurology functions and operates, it opens up everything. It's like looking at water. You do water, right? Mm. Okay. What makes two glasses of water different? They both look like water. But then you put both underneath a microscope and it's a completely different world.
Yeah.
And it's how close you look at what is going on.
Yep.
And the closer you look, the more you slow down, the more the neurology opens up. And you switch from Newtonian physics to quantum physics at that point.
Yeah. And the magnetism and electricity in everything. So the water, conductivity, neurology. I was having a pretty interesting, close to out-of-body experience the other night. I was just doing Joe Dispenza's evening meditation, and I don't think I had a level of stillness like at that time when I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I stopped a DMT experience because I did like a bolt. I was 20 minutes in, and like I felt a bolt go up from my spine, and I clenched because I was just like, what is happening and stopped it right there. But if you just look at everything as like quantum states, as magnetism and electricity, and everything is fascinating. Like if you just start to tinker with all those in your own body, things you consume, what you're putting out into the world, everything takes on a new lens of just pure raw magic, basically.
It's fun.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this, Bill.
Absolutely.
We'll do it again. I hope you enjoyed that chat as much as I did. I learned a whole bunch. I'll be going to Bill's physical reset circle on Tuesday evenings because as I discovered during the podcast, it felt like he was talking to me without actually knowing any of my issues because I definitely have a ton of strain or emotion or just unresolved nervous system issues hiding in my hips, like I mentioned during the podcast. Felt like he was talking straight into me, and it was a little uncomfortable at times. I don't know if you guys detected that, but they also host a Friday Previlo session if you're in the Western North Carolina area, and I'm going to go to that one as well because I feel like I need to be stretched or drawn and quartered, like Bill mentioned. And like I said, he is the co-host of the Sovereignty Lab, and they host numerous
events. I was at a Vedic tea ceremony learning about all sorts of Vedic practices right after that podcast. You might have seen my eyes glance over at the end. The man who hosted it came in right as we were wrapping up, but everything they're doing in that property, and we mentioned food forest abundance and permaculture, and Ideally Eco, my permaculture design partner, Joe Bass, in there. All of those links will be below. If you're interested in starting down a food forest or permaculture path for yourself, ensuring food security and anything along medical freedom, spiritual freedom, taking more control over your life on every single level, I have all the links below there. Permaculture design certificates, a lot of the modalities Bill and Christina, the other hosts of Sovereignty Lab, love working with, all of their information below. And thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a great rest of your day.